Welcome to the Porsche Club Insider, your one stop for all things Porsche and PCA. Here's your host, Vu Nguyen, and the Insider crew.
And we're live from Burbank, California. You guys can't complain about the office setup anymore.
Yes, we can, but we can also complain about this hotel room. Had we known, you should have gotten me a suite.
Nope. We're not going to go there.
And by suite, he means he wants a fireplace.
Yes.
Everybody wants a fireplace.
So to give you a visual, Damon is straddling those big hotel pillows they put on the bed that are like 4 foot wide, because we all have to sit on pillows. So we're not. It doesn't look like we're a four-year-old at the dinner table. And so I'm sitting on a pillow, Cindy's sitting on a pillow, but Damon had to sit on the big... Yeah.
It's like a body pillow.
It's a body pillow.
It's a pretty much useless pillow they put on the bed.
Yeah. It's an HR nightmare in here.
Hey, well, we got a good use out of it.
So. Whatever it takes to bring you the podcast. We didn't want to miss it, even though we're traveling this week. And this is what we came up with ad hoc. And again, Manny's here, Damon's here, Robert's at the helm at HQ, putting it together digitally. And of course, we have Cindy Jacobson here, our executive vice president, who joined us at Unstock. Man, I am just getting here was a challenge. I'm staying down in Orange County with my mom in Fountain Valley. And what normally took a 45-minute drive to Unstock, or we're right across the street from West Coast Customs recording this. You know, for the past 3 days, it's been like 45 minutes to get here. And today, for me to get here, almost took 2 hours. It was ridiculous.
Well, luckily, we were trying to figure out all these cables and connections. So,
yeah, the timing worked out pretty perfect.
Almost had perfect timing.
There we go. So, do we want to rewind to last week a little bit, or do we want to go straight into Unstock?
I feel like I've been here for a while. We got here Thursday, and the show, of course, was Sunday. And so we went right to West Coast Customs, which kudos to Melanie, our event manager. We are literally across the street. And when she said we're staying at a hotel across the street, I thought it was the Vue across the street, which is
hey now,
which means two exits down on the interstate. But this was literally across the street. We just walked across four lanes of traffic, and we were at the West Coast Customs, which is actually made it very easy.
Yeah, so logistically, that was, I think, perfect. I complicated things a little bit, or more so, my brother made things more complicated for me this year because he has his first part of his wedding ceremony. It was on Saturday, and then he has the second part of his wedding this next Saturday. And so I had to, obviously wanted to join the team and get things set up on Thursday and Friday. But I had to really, really plan and make sure that planes were on time. And I was driving out to the beach to do the wedding back and forth, coast to coast. And it all worked out, surprisingly.
So he's getting married three times.
Well, sort of.
How many times is he saying I do?
So technically, technically three times. You've got the Vietnamese ceremony, which was this last Saturday. You've got the Indian ceremony, which is in the morning. Next Saturday, and then you have sort of the more traditional American wedding in the evening. So
does that mean if things don't work out, there's three divorces?
I'm going to kill them if things don't work out.
And my question was, how many gifts do you have to bring?
Oh, they get showered with gifts. Trust me.
Is that why they probably did that?
Yeah.
But this is like a big Ponzi scheme for a while.
We're just very happy that our youngest brother is finally getting hitched to an amazing lady. So
congrats to him.
Oh. Hopefully they enjoy each one of the weddings. Well, you have one down already, right?
I have one down and two to go.
No. Right. Wow.
But I had the big role for me was for the Vietnamese wedding, introducing and sort of being the MC for all
so
of it.
So what you do every day at work?
Pretty much. But it's a little bit difficult when the Gwynn family never follows instructions. And so I have to tap
once
dance.
Again,
and
once again,
same thing as I
just experienced at Unstock.
Literally, my family life had prepared me for my PCA life, and now I take that and throw it right back into my family life.
So, if you listened to the podcast, you heard our behind the scenes of how it goes when we plan events, and we showed up on the Thursday and went straight to from the airport to West Coast Customs to start getting a lay of the land. Vu and Melanie had been here already to inspect the site, but since it's not it's a street in use,
mm-hmm.
so it's not like a concourse or a golf course that we can have a whole day to ourselves. We wouldn't get the street until the day of the event. That's when the street were closed. So there was a lot of measuring and coordination. There was a lot of moving parts in this.
Yeah, and West Coast Customs obviously is a operating business, and they had project cars that they were working on. They had cars to deliver. We did a site visit twice with them, and obviously we had a vision for the event together with Lorenzo. But I can tell you, they put in so much hard work to clean up the place and get it ready to welcome all the PCA members and Porsche enthusiasts. Again, we locked down the main street in front of West Coast Customs. The Burbank Police Department, they were there helping out. We had security. I mean, it was an amazing affair. There was one little thing that we noticed was different, but we didn't put two and two together really until kind of halfway through the show. There was a parking lot that their neighbor allowed us to use, which we were able to put sponsors and the food trucks and everything. And it worked out for the event, but it felt a little different and something that we didn't plan. And Manny didn't get to see it initially, so he didn't know it was any different. But there was actually a concrete wall. Cinder block wall that when we went and did the site visit, it was only waist high. And then we noticed.
So it grew.
It grew. It grew.
Like a tree.
It grew and it blocked off a little bit. But again, we made sure we flowed people through there, and we always make it work. But man, who thought a wall would come up in between?
Yeah, I thought that was just up until then, I had just seen aerial shots.
Yeah.
What it was going to look like. So, but with the flags and whatnot, people knew there was stuff back there.
Yeah, and for those that had display cars at Unstock, you know, I want to thank you for your patience in the morning with parking. We were, at the mercy with the folks that were setting up, you know, the tables and chairs and benches, and they had all their big trucks there, and we literally couldn't park cars as soon as we could. It did help that, you know, for those of you that we asked to show up early, you know, you guys were all parked at the front of the line staging in the industrial complex. But as soon as those trucks moved out, we got you guys in, and, you know, you followed instructions. So we really do appreciate that. And man, what a sight. After everyone was parked, it seemed like the crowds just descended upon, you know, West Coast Customs and Unstock.
Yeah, there was a big crowd. And I do want to say, though, it might have taken a bit longer to get those people and their cars in. But I've got to say that I really appreciated the opportunity to take a bunch of photos before they got in to change up the scenery a little bit. And, you know, the stuff you're looking at now is the wait to get inside. And I think some of these photos are stunning. And I'm sure a lot of other people had the same idea.
And was, of course, we know Unstock is a show that's dedicated to the modified Porsches. But still, did you guys anticipate sort of the breadth and the different styles of modified Porsches that were there?
No, there was a ton.
Well, you know, I had to accept the cars into the system. So I looked at the photographs. So I was just hoping that much like a Tinder date, that the photographs would match the actual car in real life.
I think they did, didn't they?
So, Cindy, what did you think?
So it did. The pictures, they didn't. No one over photoshopped their pictures. It was just the car that I had my eye on were exactly the way that they look in real life. So
I did see Bruce Meyer had a 356 there, but it was pretty yellow and didn't look like a 356.
He originally was going to bring his. I think it was an Outlaw 356. He registered the Outlaw 356, but mm-hmm. then Manny remembered that he pretty much has the OG Unstock car, which is the roof CTR. So I actually asked him to bring the CTR.
I think that was a good
call. And he was going to bring both cars, but I think at the last minute he could only bring one car, and he brought the car that we wanted. So Bruce, thank you very much for doing that.
Yeah, thanks, Bruce.
And we almost had like a bit of a roof setup on that side, and they weren't all roof cars, but that, you know, they had one. I think Lorenzo's 996 had roof wheels, and the car in the middle, the 993, also had roof wheels. I think it might have had roof mods as well. But to have the OG, the original CTR, and he stayed the whole day. I know it was a lot to ask for folks to, because it was tight. And once we got cars locked in, you know, you had to stay there for the entire event. And he did. And I didn't really see him after he parked the car, so hopefully he was just milling around and enjoying everything. I'll touch back with him and see what he thought of the event.
Yeah. Well, I love seeing the CTR. That's one of my favorite Porsches, or I guess Porsche-like vehicles, right?
Yeah.
I think you're going to see a lot of that in the social media, a picture of that car, because it was parked on the side of the entrance where there was all the cool graffiti on the wall.
Yep.
And the graffiti had yellow in it. So I took a couple of photos, and it almost looks like a Jeff Short photograph.
Oh, yes,
because the graffiti was reflecting.
Watch out, Jeff. Manny's coming for you. Manny's coming for you. I don't think so, Jeff. You don't have to worry about it.
It was
he only has an iPhone 6.
I stepped up to an 11.
Oh, you did. Oh, you did. My bad.
Oh, how nice.
6 wouldn't work anymore.
So, Cindy, this was your first Unstock,
I think? It was.
What'd you think?
It was incredible. Even though, you know, we talked about what happened last year, you still don't really know what to expect. And the cars were tremendous in so many different models. So it just was, you know, I called it like a dream for what people could do with their cars. And just, you know, from the different colors to all the modifications you could see, and even those that you couldn't see that, and everybody there just was having the best time. They couldn't stop talking about the other cars and really just enjoyed the day, the cars on the street versus the cars indoors. It was heaven to so many people.
Yeah. And probably the best compliment, you know, that I kept getting over and over was people like, man, I love the vibe of this event. And that's what we were going for, right? We do so many things well in PCA, and we have so many different offerings, and to be able to put on a new event that is clearly different from what we mm-hmm. normally do, but people still appreciate it. Mm-hmm. People loved obviously the cars that were on display outside, inside, but someone walked up to me and they go, did you walk around the industrial park? The Porsches that are out there are just as good as the cars in here. So like everybody came together for mm-hmm. this fun event.
Yeah, it was, I got to say, it was nice meeting a lot of listeners, too.
Oh, yeah, we did. Thank you all that listened to the podcast and coming up to Manny and myself and others and saying how much you enjoy it. We do it for you all, and that's why we're stuck in this little room.
Yep. It is strange when somebody's like, you can tell somebody's like, look staring at you.
Oh, yeah.
And you're wondering, why is this person staring at me? And it's a PCA event. I always smile at people. Yeah. I figure maybe I met them at something, but then they – as soon as I smile, they approach me and say, I just want to say, I watch the podcast every week. And that was cool.
Yeah. I had somewhat of an embarrassing moment along those lines. So Chris Jacobs with Motor Trend, and you know him from Overhauling and such. He's known as a Mopar guy, but he actually grew up with his father and a Porsche. And he has a beautiful, I think it's an 85 G-body. So he was a special guest. He got to choose a car. And so I'm like, this, you know, I've just met him a couple of months ago and invite him to Unstock. And, you know, we're walking the crowd and, you know, I'm thinking, man, people are wanting to take photos with him. And literally someone came up and said, hey, can I take a picture of you? And I'm thinking, oh, they want to take a picture of Chris. And I'm like, I stepped out of the way. They're like, oh no, we want to take a picture with you. I'm like,
I was at Dave Portnoy did a pizza review, and he had the Avengers. With them, the four guys, and this girl walks up and says, "Oh my God, it's you!" And he thinks she's talking about one of the Avengers. And says she walks up to him and says to one of the Avengers, "Can you take a picture of us?"
That's hilarious.
And then she realizes later on that I think John Hamm was with them too, and she realizes that it's she's looking at four A-list celebrity stars, but she just went to Portnoy not realizing who else was there.
Yeah, I had one of those moments here at the hotel, actually. So I sat down to do a little work down in the lobby. And as I'm setting up my computer, I'm looking over and I see somebody checking in at the front desk. And, you know, I do that stare because I'm like, who is that? And of course, he's looking straight at me and I'm going like, OK, this is getting awkward. But I realize it was Yuri and Jacob from the Straight Pipes.
Oh, OK.
So if you watch that YouTube channel, I had one of those moments. I walked up and said hello and all that. And then I saw them walking around Unstock, I believe, before their an event they were going to.
Cool.
So
hopefully we get some coverage from them.
Yeah, hopefully.
I do think the funniest thing was before the event started, and we were clearing out the street because there was cars that even though there were signs every 10 feet saying that you would be towed, there was a couple of cars left there, and there was a Prius that we put on the roller jacks and we're pushing it down the street out of the way. And oh my God, did you smell? You didn't see that car,
no.
Cindy, did you? I can't take that. I told Vu, I said, you got to tell Laura I can't take any kind of drug test for at least a month, because he opened the door and he goes, take a smell of this car. Wow. This guy takes all the money he saves with gas and he buys cannabis. It like overwhelmed you.
It was
California for you.
It wasn't a light, distinctive smell. It was in your face.
I got a buzz like immediately.
But you know, seeing an abandoned Prius right where we were gonna park cars, I was like, you know what? I'm never gonna sweat this one because we've moved bigger things. We've moved two full size vans that were parked in our cul-de-sac for a PCA open house, and we moved them with GoJack. So when I saw the Prius, I'm like, either we'll get it towed, or we end up finding out knowing, or West Coast Customs knew who the car belonged to. So
they know that person, huh?
I wonder if it's an employee.
Yeah. So we'll just leave it at that. Anyways, GoJacks are amazing. If you have events and you don't have a set of GoJacks or jacks that you can put under the wheels, it's definitely good insurance to have, because you just prop up the car and then we push it down the road. Actually, I think we pushed it like 3/4 of the way, and one of the guys at West Coast was like, I've got a forklift that I can just connect and drag it the rest of the way. So
the car wasn't damaged, the wheels don't even touch the ground.
The car had more dents on it than anything that we could have possibly done.
Yeah, but big thanks to the West Coast Customs guys again, who came in on their day off to help us with the event. And I think they all enjoyed.
Yeah.
Because this is a different, if you will, clientele, different crowd than maybe some of their other events they do. But it was a lot of fun. I think everyone was pretty chill. There wasn't any issues.
No, not at all.
People were respectful of the cars inside and whatnot. I kept on walking around the inside, just looking around to see where people were, and they were everywhere.
Yeah,
from mm-hmm. the front lobby, inside the T-shirt shop, to the workshop, which is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at all the cars in there. So yeah, there was a lot to see and a lot to do, and people stayed to 2:00.
Oh yeah, absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely. And I think when we first, you know, started telling people that we were coming to West Coast Customs for Unstock, it didn't naturally. You know, they didn't naturally understand, you know, how this could possibly work. But yesterday we showed them, and more importantly, I think Ryan Frieglinghouse, the owner of West Coast Customs, he's always been supportive of it from day one. And of course, he's a Porsche fan as well. But I think there's some apprehension because they've never really done anything like this. But after talking to him and the crew yesterday, they're just over the moon about how everything turned around turned out for us. So that was super cool. So were there any favorite Porsches of the day? Like I didn't get to see a lot of the cars, but you guys spent some time with cars. I'll start with Cindy. Cindy, did you have a favorite Porsche of the day?
Yeah, my favorite was actually the PCA winner for the day. And it was the 74 911. It started off as a yellow car, completely redone to Geyser Gray and made over to look similar to the 50th anniversary. Just did a tremendous job. He's been working on it for, I think he said, 7 or 8 years now. He said he's been learning as he goes. He laughed that he said some things he's had to do up to 3 times because he'd learn how to do it. Well, it just wasn't perfect, so he'd try it again and just kept going until, and there you can see there, it's just a spectacular car.
That's a gorgeous
and it was
car.
So I had told him, not wanting to give away that he was going to win an award, I said, can you be by your car around 1:45? And he got so excited, his eyes lit up, his wife or girlfriend started clapping, and I said, I can't say anymore, and I just walked away. And they are newer to the club. I'm not sure what year she joined or they joined, but met a few of the other members here at the event last night or yesterday during the day, and just were very excited and very honored to win the award. It is a beautiful car inside and out.
Yeah, the car on its own is amazing. It's a what year was it?
74.
Mm-hmm. 74. So it's like a back date because it has a long hood nose. It's wide bodied. It's got a ducktail. Of course, the beautiful color. It has a special anodized.
Eyes are gray.
Anodized fuchs. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that, again, it's a young couple, and I didn't realize they built a car themselves.
Well, he did.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
She's still very encouraging.
I was going to say, trust. It takes two.
Everything takes two.
So that, wow, that is very impressive. But yeah, that car was stunning.
Yeah.
Definitely was.
How about you, Damon? What'd you pick?
So, funny enough, I picked a car that would fly under the radar a little bit compared to most of the cars there. But I picked a car that's more my style, the kind of car that I would put in my own garage if I could. And it's this GT3. I forget if it's an 04 or 05.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a 996. It's got Yokohama wheels. There's the owner in the green and blue talking to Lorenzo. And I had taken some photos generally of that area, but this was near the end of the day. And when we were taking the ropes down and I realized that the owner was there, and I just loved the steering wheel and the things that he did to get rid of the airbag lights when you do that.
Yeah.
And the wheels were great. The suspension looked spot on. He had a carbon fiber RSR wing, I believe he said it was, in the back, which just looked really good. It looked like the Flying Lizard wing, you know, on the car next to it. And it just having driven a GT3, a 996 GT3 that's similarly modded, that was it for me. Super clean.
The stance on it's just about perfect.
The stance is right. The wheels are right. The wing is right. It's the right color if you don't want to attract too much attention. And Philip, I believe, is his name, and a stunning car, in my opinion.
That's what my 996 aspires to be. That's a good-looking car.
It is.
It probably has 10 layers of ceramic coat on it, too.
Yeah, probably.
Thing was popping under the lights. That's gorgeous.
No, but I talked to him, and he gave me a few ideas to get rid of my airbag light from putting my seat in and all that. So thank you, Philip.
Manny, you have a favorite?
I had the... you know, you said it wasn't really an Unstock car, but I like to think it was an Unstock factory car.
I know where you're going with this. Of course. That's such an
iconic
pick.
Car.
Such an easy
pick. But, you know,
pick.
A lot of people didn't really appreciate what it was. It's a 917. It's one of the first 20s. Chassis number 005. So if you've seen, and many people have this iconic photo of the cars in the Porsche courtyard waiting for FIA inspection, this should have been one of those cars.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And the tail was used, I think, for only 1 year, that kind of tail, and it wasn't very effective. It might have looked cool, but they were just, I think, guessing what will work. And the 917K is what's more popular, that tail that was in the movie Le Mans. So, yeah, a lot of people didn't realize this was actually an early 917, but it was definitely a very valuable car and significant car, so... I was just struck that someone, a collector would bring that by and let us use it for the show. So
I think you made Ryan's day, actually. We did a quick video clip on this, which will come out on our YouTube channel in 2 or 3 weeks about the event. And Manny just rattled off all these facts for like a good 3 minutes. And we could tell Ryan, the owner of West Coast Customs, didn't really know all that much about the car. And, you know, we got a round ovation at the very end with Ryan starting that. So
who better to talk about that car than Manny, right? Yeah, I'm like, you're going inside to talk about the 917. You should take Manny, not me. I can fake my way for a little bit. But if you want the true details, you got to go with Manny. Yeah. And what an honor it was, like you said, for, you know, the owner to allow us to have that car for Unstock. And certainly Lorenzo knew how special it was because he gave it its own room, as you can see in the YouTube. And I think it's just cool to see sort of the, you know, the polar opposites in style of the car, but also in that black room with the more urban West Coast Customs.
Oh, yeah.
You'll never get a photo like that anywhere.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they did the lighting for photography at this.
They had to.
They really put a lot of thought into
that. And even to get up that close. It might be at some kind of car show that you're going to, but it will be behind the ropes or on a platform or something. To get up where that close, where you can, you know, that's something special.
Yeah, there were some ropes throughout the day. You know, at the end of the day, we were able to move them a little bit. So there was a little bit of protection in case the owner's watching. You know, yeah. Anybody. It wasn't just anybody.
Well, not only were there some ropes, but we always do things right at PCA. Yep. And at the suggestion of Lorenzo, we hired security for the entire event. We had security at both ends of the street. We had security inside the building. And I don't know how rowdy, you know, West Coast Customs events get. You know, I've never been to one aside from this one, but they were adamant to just as a precaution, we're going to invest and make sure that we have security. So we paid for that to make sure that we protect the cars.
They were doing their job because when we went inside to do the filming of three cars, Damon started moving the stanchions out of the way so we could get a better shot. And the security guard walked up and I was like, what are you doing? And who are you?
Perfect. That's why we hired him. Yeah. That's good to hear. So for me, you know, it's a whirlwind of what happened yesterday. But I know that there was a car that was there that I've always loved. And it's this 356 Outlaw. Alan Sergi, I think is his name. Yep. Yeah, that's it right there. And I've always loved that car. I think I have 356 on the mind just because my motor was recently rebuilt and I need to find something to put it in. But that car is,
I believe he drove it to parade too.
Oh yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. He drives
it. Which is the other side of the country this year.
Oh yeah. Wow. Oh yeah. He definitely puts miles on those tires and it's a stunning looking car from the color to all the modifications. And he's so proud about, you know, his involvement with PCA. And so just that whole package, that's why I picked that car.
Beautiful.
Anything else on Unstock before we, I guess maybe move over.
I got to bring up because, you know, Cindy's retiring off the EC. This is her last year. And the staff has always loved Cindy.
Oh, yeah.
And, we were talking about, you know, well, first start off, we're going to take her out to dinner, which we always, you know, have the post-event dinner. We talked about, we know she's a big Disney fan. And
that's an understatement.
We said, well, let's go to like downtown Disney. We'll drive like an hour there and have dinner there. And I think I said to Charlene, I said, if we're driving all the way to downtown Disney, we might as well go to Disneyland. But everybody's got to buy a ticket. And so, next thing you know, we're all getting tickets for Disneyland. And, this was going to be a big surprise to Cindy. And then we hear word on Monday, was it, that she may not be coming.
Oh, no.
And it was funny at the office because it became like crisis priority.
Yes.
And I even said to Laura, I'm like, it's kind of funny that we're talking more about Cindy not being able to come than we are about Unstock coming up in a week. And it was like, somebody's got to like tell her she's got to come. And I think it worked out. You were pretty surprised, weren't you?
I was absolutely shocked. Oh, yeah, it was just going to be.
Her microphone dropped. There you go.
Thank you. That I was going to be delayed. I was still going to make Unstock, but I didn't know how early I could get in. And so then I get a text message, and I hear that it was carefully crafted by Manny to say we're planning something special. Because they were asking me, is Bob coming? And my husband. And I'm like, oh well, okay. But never ever crossed my mind. So I walk in Saturday morning. And there are the member services team. They just scream, "We're going to Disneyland!" And had shirts for me. And then later that night, in the park, I'm kind of led in front of the castle, and there's quite the other HQ team that's down here yelling surprise. So completely blown away.
Yeah, five or six of us that stay back and finish some of the coordination for the show. So the member services went and took her in surprise. But it was pretty cool they didn't tell her about the rest of us showing up.
Yeah, no.
That was the whole idea. Now, Manny called me out to my kids because I think downtown Disney is great. And that's really, if you have 4 or 5-year-olds.
I think it's great because it's free.
Nothing. My kids were 4 and 5. Downtown Disney was plenty for them. I didn't tell them that was the entire Disneyland or lack of experience. Anyways, long story short is I'm glad that you guys, I really wanted to go. I so want to go and be a part of that. But the surprise worked and everything I mean, that was that kind of set the rhythm for everything else.
Yeah, I mean, we got back within a reasonable time, so we weren't hungover for Unstock. But yeah, it was a
hungover from fun. Disney, really.
Yeah. Disney, that's some hard stuff.
That's all the walking and standing in line that you have to do.
Yeah, yeah. So did you enjoy Disneyland? That was your first time to Disneyland, right?
My second time to Disneyland. I was there about 4 years ago. And yeah, had a great time with the team. And then when, you know, the larger team, it was incredible. It was the best experience ever, and definitely a great way to say goodbye for a while. You
it's
know,
not
we'll
a
still
goodbye.
See
that was,
each other at
no,
events.
No, no, no. That's but not a goodbye.
In an official capacity.
That was not a goodbye. That was a thank you to you. That is not a goodbye
it,
at all.
It was so, it was incredible. It's one of the best memories of my life.
So I think it was a Disneyland trip, but amongst the conversations, I thought it was also a Hemig family tour.
did you ever see the tree?
They couldn't decide which of the two trees. So
Jim was he was like on one mission was to go to the Star Wars thing. So he
that was his only
he basically
mission.
Hugged Cindy, said great to see you, and I'm out of here. And he him and a couple guys went over to the Star Wars display, and that's the last we saw him. And I think Elko learned. His lesson learned was to craft his words carefully when he replies to emails, because he almost didn't come to Disney because he told us that he wasn't because Damon wasn't going to come. Yep. We knew that. And then Ilka made a similar comment. And so everyone on the email thread understood that he wasn't going to come. Ilka, our advertising director. So we didn't get him a ticket.
So thankfully, It always works out.
Yeah, choose your words carefully. Yeah,
it always works out. So Tom and Elaine were also coming in for Unstock.
Oh, that's
but,
right.
But with the
they were going to go
hurricane.
Also.
They were also going to come, but because of the hurricane and clean up around the house, and so they couldn't make the trip. So we did have two tickets ready, you know, as backup. And good thing Ilko had those tickets to fall upon.
He was like he looked like a 4-year-old kid that was told he couldn't come to Disney.
Your parents didn't sign the permission slip. You have to stay in the class and watch a video.
And we also had, I forgot to mention, Craig Kugler and his wife, Mary Lou.
Yes.
They were there with family. And I don't think they were surprised at them, too.
They had no idea. Yeah, they're there for they took their family, their kids and grandkids, because it's their 50th wedding anniversary. So we sent a text. I sent him a text. Where in the world is Craig? Uh-huh. And he's, you know, I'm in line at Winnie the Pooh. And so he, you know, he just thought he's addressing that he's at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Not knowing we were there.
No, see how it's cool.
So we were going to send him a photo of us in front of the castle, but then it just kind of kept growing and getting delayed. And so then, we eventually saw him.
And that's what I love. Like, you know, we stress and we plan, and at the end, it all works out.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, someone above is watching out for us.
I don't have many hair follicles left. Overall, it was a great event. And thank you to all the entrants who showed up early. Yep. We knew when we said 8 o'clock that PCA members show up at 7:30.
They did.
And they did. And thank you to all the volunteers who corralled all the early arrivals. It's kind of tough when it's a new location, especially when you don't get the property until the morning of the event to prepare. At least when we did Unstock last year, it was a pretty empty parking lot. So we came the day before and had everything marked and everything. So this was a little bit different, but it worked out. And there was a lot of smiling faces. And I think the fact that people stayed to 2 o'clock said a lot.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep. So we're obviously still here in California. I'm going to head back on Wednesday. We've got a couple things to do. I believe we have some California 1 mile reviews lined up for today.
Yeah, we have got a couple. It's an 2001 996 Turbo, and then VU, which Manny will drive, and then VU will drive a 991 Carrera GTS, which is the local Los Angeles region president's personal car.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Again, shout out to PCA Los Angeles Region President Steve Nguyen for corralling the volunteers. And there's this one photo that was sent to me early this morning where we're all I'm sitting on the golf cart and the volunteers are piling in to go help, navigate all of the entrants. And that's my favorite photo out of the entire weekend, because that's what it's all about. I've said this before many a times. Porsches, get you into the club, but it's the people that keep you there. And this photo just embodies that. The smiling faces, and he's got this reflective vest on, the flags, and they're just getting ready to work and to get it done. And we did. So thanks. Nice. Thanks. But his car is a gorgeous looking car.
Yeah, gorgeous. A chalk or
No. Gray? I think it's like that.
It's a gray.
Gray blue. It's a gray blue. Yeah,
I forget the name of the color. Beautiful car.
But the biggest thing is, like, we've got a pretty nice road that we do our 1 mile review back in Maryland, but we're going to kind of be on an iconic road to do this 1 mile review.
Yep. The Angeles Crest. We start at the bottom, and there's, a route and plenty of turnarounds, about half a mile to 0.75 miles. So they're a little bit more than a mile like they usually are, but super great road. Probably the twistiest that we've driven for a 1 mile review.
Ooh.
But really fun. I had the pleasure of driving several nice cars. So I'm not going to hog all of them today. We'll hand those off to Manny.
How many have you done so far?
I did four. I drove a 350 horsepower 911 ST Tribute, which that car was at Unstock, and it was amazing. Not only was it a loud color, but the car was super loud, great to drive. Then that same owner said, "Hey, do you want to drive my 356 Speedster?" Well, of course. Wow. So he brought a 356 Speedster, which... that owner is 44 years old now. He bought it 20 years ago.
Wow.
A Speedster.
And so it's smart.
Ton of, and I'm going to get this wrong, patina?
Patina.
Patina.
I don't know why you stumble on that
it's
word.
It's Jeremy so Clarkson. Much. That's because they always said patina, right? But
patina.
So I got to drive that. And I kid you not, I thought the Signal Orange 911 ST Tribute was going to bring a crowd and get people stopping off in the parking pullout. But not really. People gave thumbs up, as they drove past, but we got the Speedster out and 6-7 cars showed up. People got out, started taking pictures. We met a friend of Mark Perbanek, actually.
Oh, cool.
Who's from Florida out here right now. So small world, but a lot of fun. And then Ilko's Boxer Spider and then a 993 Carrera 2. So a lot of fun. But hopefully you guys think these videos are as fun as it was for me to drive them.
Yeah. And so what we're trying to do is just take advantage of the good weather and the availability of cars. Because once we go back to Maryland, we might not have as many cars available for us to do on our normal loop. Although Roxanne had a kind of cool idea that we might try even when the weather turns a little bit bad for us back in Maryland.
Yeah, she Porsche has had advertising campaigns that their cars are four season cars, even the sports cars, and she said it would be interesting for you guys to drive a car that's being driven in the winter on winter tires and see what it's like. And I thought I know people who have GT3 that drive them year round, and they just step on the winter tires once the temperature drops. And I thought that would be pretty neat. And I know not the whole country has the winter season.
Yeah.
But for those who do, it shows that you don't have to store your car.
Right, right. And have any of you driven a Cayenne on winter tires yet?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, it's a joy. So we'll wait till we have 6 to 12 inches of snow on the ground, and there we'll do a 1 mile review in my Cayenne with a snow tires, and you'll be amazed how that thing does.
You gotta wait for it to snow.
Yeah.
I know. If it snows.
Maryland, we have, well, now that we've said this, we haven't had a crazy snowstorm in a while. We're due for one. Yeah.
We had a couple good ones, or at least over where I live. Yeah, I've got pictures of my Camry in six inches of snow.
I don't remember anything.
I only say I don't remember that because of my snowblower that's like this mini tank that my father-in-law bought that I inherited. I never used it. It stayed in the garage the whole time, and usually that's good for a heavy snowfall. But before we leave Unstock, how many cruisers did he give away?
Oh, Princess Cruises?
I could hear through the PA system, and it felt like every other hour there was a cruise being given away.
So the crew at Princess Cruise Lines, we love them, Jesse and Jeremy, but the top dog, John Padgett, he comes out to all of our events. He's all over the world, but he makes it a point to be at our events. And he is so enamored with the relationship that we've built over the past couple of months. And they keep wanting to do more. And yesterday was a perfect example of, we knew they were going to give away a couple of cruises, one to John's favorite pick of Porsche for the day. That makes sense. And then they gave away.
Which was what?
They picked that like baby blue golf blue Targa, I think it was.
Okay.
With the custom interior. Uh-huh. It was next to the stage. It was a beautiful car. I totally get why they chose that. And then there was a big sort of grand prize cruise at the end of the day that was given out to those that participated in Unstock. But the one that I'm most proud of, the one that they gave, was they gave a cruise to Ryan's apprentice program at West Coast Customs. And, you know, it's like, what do you give to someone like Ryan or Lorenzo at West Coast Customs that they can really do anything? And when I talked to Princess about the idea of how about that one cruise that we weren't exactly sure how we were going to give that away, can we give it to his academy? And there's one of those pictures in there that kind of shows the logo of it. But, you know, they help these inner city kids, you know, learn a trade, from welding to body to mechanicals. In fact, they've been recognized by the city of Burbank, the state of California, for how they've turned around so many kids that were going down the wrong path. And then they found their passion in the automotive industry, and they're doing awesome stuff. And so, you know, these guys are tough, cool dudes. And I'm sure they didn't shed a tear, because that's not their way, but they were so appreciative that Princess Cruise Lines gave them this package, and they can choose to do whatever they want with it. They can send a kid or a family, or they can, you know, use it to raise money for the program. But I thought that was world class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we also I guess debuted in person the PCA shoes.
And oh yeah,
yeah.
What's it called? It's not called PCA shoes, but
PCA Classic Porsche Club of America Collection, right?
Yeah,
and then they're the shoes. Then the Roadster hard case suitcase.
Yep. Yep. So if you go to Porsche-design.com, you'll see our latest collaboration with Porsche Design for the Club Blau, what I call trolley suitcase with the PCA luggage tag. It's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, with anything that's Porsche Design, it's, you know, technology wise and the case is so cool. Yeah. But the biggest thing that my kids are more sneakerheads than I have lots of shoes, but I'm not a true sneakerhead, but I like them. And probably the cool thing for me is the drop on the classic Club Coupe inspired Pumas that we did with Porsche Design. 1,955 pairs. They dropped yesterday during the show. We actually awarded the three winners from Unstock. We're going to send them a pair of the classic Club Coupe shoes. Again, 1,955 pairs. They have already sold out, I think, close to 500 pairs.
And that signifies the year PCA was founded.
Right, exactly. And, of course, the colors. And, yeah, they've already sold close to 500 pairs. And it hasn't even been 24 hours.
So by the time you hear this, actually.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I hope they are still available.
Yeah, I'm hoping I can get them into eBay tomorrow.
Hope.
Yeah. I mean. Yeah, so if you're well in tune with, you know, PCA social media, you will have heard about this, so you will have seen it in eBreak
That's a great photo, but also you get the Club Blau shoelaces, which is really sharp.
Yes, nice. And that's what I did, is I actually laced my right pair my right shoe with the blue, so I walked around with white laces on the left, blue, but
living on the edge.
Living on the edge. Wild and crazy. Asymmetrical, baby.
And then the luggage is limited edition. Each is numbered up to 300. So that is a very limited edition. So if you're interested in that, it comes with a PCA luggage tag.
Yep.
There, I think, I can't see what number that
is. One of 300.
But, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Cool.
And Karsten had told me that they wanted to do some Porsche, or Porsche Design has said, hey, let's continue that color.
Oh,
and he said, nope, that is strictly
they want it.
The run of 300 special for PCA. Wow. So thank you, Karsten.
Very cool.
So let's get into some Porsche news. I've heard some stuff about LMDH and Daytona.
So Daytona, Porsche pretty much confirmed that it's going to be only the factory Penske team. Mm. There won't be any customer. There will be eventually customer teams, but I think in preparing the cars and getting them ready, they want to place a priority on the Penske factory team. Yes, eventually, maybe later on the season, you'll start to see some other customer teams are running the 963, but at least for Daytona, it'll just be the two. Hopefully, it's second place, the two. Obviously, the more cars you have, the less chance of a breakdown, and at least somebody surviving. So it'll be interesting to see how the other manufacturers. I haven't really read up to see if BMW or Ferrari, if they're going the customer route as well, to try to offset the cost of the R&D on these cars. But Daytona is not that far away. And so for those of you who have never been to the 24-hour race, you should really think about it. We'll start talking about it as we get closer and closer to the event. PCA has a huge corral. Mm-hmm. The corral sold out. It sells out within days when tickets go on sale back in the summer. And unfortunately, they sell it. They give first shot to people who have gone there before. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like tickets to your favorite football team. You got to wait for somebody to die to open up a position.
Let's say uninterested in renewing their spot. Let's not
unable.
Yeah. Really, Manny? What are you? Someone called you salt and I'm sugar or something like that?
Yes, somebody come up and he said, I really like the podcast. He goes, and I like your personality because you're the salt to Boo Sweet.
Somehow that's going to end up on a t-shirt.
I know, right? So anyways, think about Daytona, because the 24 hours, when Porsche goes for overall, it seems so much more exciting than other years when you have these chassis manufacturers, and it's not really the engine manufacturers like it is going to be this year. So it's going to be wild in 2023 with the hypercars running. So.
Yeah. A lot of teams competing for the overall wins. Yep.
Yeah, we get a good glimpse of what Le Mans will be like.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the racing news. And then the Taycan rolled out its 100,000 Taycan.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's it seems like it just came out, and they're humming along producing these cars. I just read this morning, trying to touch base, but Porsche kind of like released their platform, EV platform, the more modern one with the Macan. And it looks like the range is going to be even longer or a bigger range than the Taycan.
So what's the target range for everyone? My Mustang from 92, like with the mods that I've done to it, it gets like 150 miles maximum range with gas. So what do you
330 think? Miles in my Cayman seems short when my Golf goes about 450 to 500 on a tank.
Cindy, wow. Do you have a range goal?
Cindy has a Taycan.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got the Taycan.
And you're what, 220?
240, I 240? Think is the number now. And I was going to say, if you want to do a Taycan in snow tires.
There we go.
Only you knew someone.
If only we knew someone.
There we go.
I'll let you know when it snows in Chicago.
Yeah, it shouldn't take too long, right?
Just keep an eye on that mic. For some reason, her mic is dropping. So,
and for us, that's my husband's daily driver. So it is not an issue for us at all. If we could get, over 300, that would be great. But so far, it really hasn't been an issue.
I mean, if you're charging...
We drove it home from the PEC Atlanta.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, pretty much what is good is what we have found is you should be getting out. You shouldn't be driving for 8 hours straight anyway, though we have, driving home in the GT4, we'll just drive 8, 10, 12 hours in one day. But you still need to get out and stretch your legs and do other things. So you just find a place with a charger and that's what you do. If there's ice cream involved, that's where we pull over near a place and walk over.
Regardless of whether or not you need to plug in.
Exactly.
Like ice cream stop.
Comes anyway.
So, if you can get to 300, that would be great. But, or is it tops 300 and more? But right now, it's not been an issue for us at all.
Exactly.
That number will exceed just because battery technology is changing so rapidly and the platform is improving so much. So, you know, the Macan EV coming out, and we saw the Boxster EV spy shots. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a very exciting time. And I think Porsche is going to get to their goals on schedule or even quicker than they originally said. So, but hopefully by the next podcast, we'll have a lot more information, having attended the LA Auto Show. Mm-hmm. And
that's
Porsche has a say about their future.
Yeah, so that's a great segue. I mean, Unstock is really the last big kind of, you know, all hands on deck event for PCA this year, and we still have LA Auto Show. So, man, any hopes of what you're going to be seeing at LA?
Well, they've already announced that the car, 911 Dakar, the used to be called the Safari car, the off road car, that's going to be there. Porsche has already announced it. If anything else is going to be there, that's what we're guessing. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see the what's the Porsche design
is it that 911
the pink ones? No, the Cayman and the Boxster. They're the
The style editions, right?
Is that style edition. Style editions. I believe so. Yeah. Hopefully they have that. That'll be pretty cool to see what this new color based
Ruby
on
Stone Neo.
Oh yeah.
See how if I can tell the difference or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a little bummed. I haven't missed an LA Auto Show for a long time, but with my current travel plans and with my brother sticking a wedding in there, I'm going to miss the LA Auto Show.
Wedding number two?
Yeah, thing number two.
Oh my gosh.
The things I do for my brother, I tell you.
Yeah.
But we're going to be participating in a fairly large zone event, and that is the Zone Fest Cruise at Sea. And again, with Princess Cruise Lines, December 10th to 18th, we're going to be on board with probably close to 650 PCA members. That's going to be pretty awesome.
Why don't you like the captain? You can record a one-mile review of the ship.
You laugh, but that might be possible. We did find out that if you watched The Love Boat, back in the day, young Vicky, the cute little star in that show, she's an adult now, as you can imagine, but she's going to be joining us and emceeing all of the PCA events on board.
Wow. Oh,
nice. How cool is that?
That is cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have some other PCA well-known folks. We have Nathan Mers, who all of you know. We have Timothy McNair from Grand Prix Concours.
Nathan will be wearing flip-flops on the ship.
Nathan, definitely.
Oh, my goodness.
He will definitely be in flip-flops. We have Randy Potts from Broad Arrow with auctions and more. I mean, it's going to be very cool.
Jill Whalen.
Yeah.
Jill Whalen is Vicky. Yeah, or was was Vicky when she?
Wow.
Yeah, so
I'm surprised Damon knew that.
It's because I've got to put together a little bio for PCA.org today.
I thought it might have been a poster on a wall or something.
I thought, wow, he's hiding.
I actually don't know who she is. So.
Not helping.
That was a little creepy, but okay.
I didn't know that name. I was waiting to pause to say.
Waiting for me to say something like
for
that.
For somebody who prides himself on only listening to NPR.
Yeah.
But we must say that there was a special launch that Craig Kugler, that PCA was invited to, and Craig Kugler attended that and met Charo.
Oh, he met Charo?
Well, yeah. Mary Lou, his wife, was sitting there, and Charo came over and chatted. They chatted for quite some time.
Yeah, so they're doing like a reboot of the Love Boat, right?
It's a new class of ship.
Yeah.
So that was the
original ship was a Princess Cruise line. And the new one is also the Princess Cruise mm-hmm. line. And the captain of the boat that we'll be on is actually the captain in the show as well. So it's cool how it's all interconnected.
Yeah.
So this is the first time for PCA and or Zone 12 to do sort of this sort of trip. It's a trial run to see if this might be something that we'll do on a larger scope. But we're going to have our very first Zone Fest Porsche die-cast Concours at Sea. So we're encouraging those that are coming to pack their favorite 1/18 scale die-cast, and they have like a showcase in the middle atrium of the ship that we'll lay them all out. We'll judge the cars and the owners, and all the spectators can look at us and go, "Those guys are crazy weird."
Do you have a 1/18 scale protest committee?
We're gonna keep this work style. not so serious, but should be a lot of fun. And there'll be Porsche content the whole week that we're on the ship. So, speaking of which, listening to folks at Unstock, I know a lot of folks were asking, is there any way to have Unstock in addition to having it in Southern California? And so the answer is maybe.
Other locations.
Other locations. So for those of you that are listening or watching on YouTube, would you be interested in having an Unstock in your area? And if you would, and you'll see what I'm doing here, is be sure to like, subscribe, and comment, and let us know in the comments area of whether or not you would like to see an Unstock in your area. Make sense?
I think a great location. Our incoming president from Albany, New York.
There you go.
He loves Unstock, so I think it'd be great to have it up in Albany. Like, didn't they have that museum that had a big portion of
the Saratoga
Museum. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So part of the thing with Unstock is not only do you need to have space to bring 125, 150 cars, you know, thousands of people, but the location that it's going to be at should be an experience in itself. So, like last year, the attendees got to experience inside Gunther Works. This year, they got to experience inside West Coast Customs. So if there's something in your area where you think people haven't really had an opportunity to see, and tying it in together with an Unstock, we're all ears. Let us know. All right. So I think we are at the top of the hour. So I look at the three of you. Is there anything else that
You know, we were going to ask Cindy, since she's retiring. Cindy started on the EC when I was finishing up my term as president and becoming past president, and she came on, and it was unusual because Cindy, so there's a NomCom, the nominating committee goes through and usually interviews national staff and finds, you know, future leadership and whatnot. Cindy at the time was the region president. She wasn't Chicago region. She wasn't on the national staff. But she was very well known and very well liked throughout the club. So her name came up quite often. And when, you know, during the interview process, they ask, who do you recommend as future leadership of our club? And her name came up. So the NomCom reached out to her and they interviewed. And I remember they sent me to Potter's Picnic. Mm-hmm. Just to talk to Jenny, to better out to make sure she wasn't nutty or something.
and the verdict was?
Well, they had a lot of free beer. So. So she leapfrogged over top of the usual process, and she came in 1 year as membership, right?
Right.
Yeah, so we wanted to get her in so she could get her feet wet, at least the way National operates. And then she came right on the EC, and I think your biggest challenge, at least from the outside, because I was gone off EC by then, but this, you know, we have, and I think I owe Cindy something as far as a document that details, you know, job description or something. Like we have something for Works for Union. We have something, probably, maybe Unstock, I got it right. I can't remember which one it is. I'll find out though. But anyways, there's nothing about COVID. We never talked about what would happen if a pandemic hit the world. You got tasked with preparing a club for COVID and how to deal with it.
Yeah, they kind of named me the unofficial COVID czar.
COVID czar is what we called her.
And we had to come up with me, you know, with the EC, but a complete COVID protocol, guidelines versus requirements, you know, versus recommendations for even what the regions should be asking for, looking for, and also the infamous COVID waiver.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only that, but then making it electronic. So there was a lot. Ultimately, we came up with a way that for the regions to qualify for the certificates of insurance, they had to prove that they could run a safe event. So this was after the country opened, US and Canada, opened again after a few months. You know, here's what you needed to provide me, that your government is allowing you to hold this event. And so I had to approve 1,100. But it was also reading all the executive orders of every state and province.
And within the states, there's like counties that vary too.
Exactly. Sounds like fun, and right? towns. And it was
And what
like 5 hours a day of just wow. reading governmental executive
and
orders.
And what she's not sharing with you is, as we all know, COVID and such can be quite polarizing in opinions yeah. and politics get involved. And what she was just trying to do is protect PCA and its members and try to be able to do events the best we can without getting ourselves in trouble. And she caught a lot of heat, and not directly because of what she was doing, but just the topic itself was, you know, so prickly in many ways. But she bared, you know, it all and was always grinning and got people through it. So again, this is not a goodbye podcast. This Cindy is not a goodbye. Why we did Disneyland. This is just a big, huge, freaking big thank you for all that you've done.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure. It has been, you know, an incredible 8-9 year ride, with the ninth year being the first as membership chair. Yeah. And it's just been wonderful. I'll tell one quick story of Manny did come to Potter's Picnic. And as I walked into his car to say goodbye, he said, "Have you ever thought of being a national?" And I said, "No." And he said, "We think you'd be good." And I said, "I didn't even know you know who I am." And real sarcastic, "We know who you are." And I said, "In a good way? Because you know a lot of people not in a good way." And he goes, "Yes, in a good way." And I thought, yeah, I've ended that.
Yes, in a good way. And I think that's a great way to sign off. And Cindy, again, thank you. Thank you to all of you that are listening. If you aren't currently a PCA member and you own a Porsche, what are you waiting for? Grab that VIN, go over to PCA.org, get yourself a PCA membership. And for those of you like Ian that are, you know, forever looking for their Porsche and you need some help, we have the test drive program. Again, PCA.org, and we'll walk you through on how to get all the advantages of that. As far as the podcast Instagram, make sure you sign up there, Porsche Club Insider, all one word. Manny will throw up some behind-the-scenes stuff that's been happening in the last week or so. And finally, again, if you enjoy the podcast, we love hearing from you when we're on site. We love seeing the likes. We love reading the comments. So take a few minutes. Send us a note. Let us know what you think about, you know, do you want an Unstock in your area or whatever it might be. Until next time, we'll catch you later. Stay safe.